It is January the 31st. I'm here with Noah Rubin talking about some tradable players or non-tradable players, some news from overnight. Dyson Daniels, of course, we're going to talk about him. We might even have a chat about Dante Exum. It's that time of year. This is Trade Talk. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also proudly part of the Old Man Squad Network at Old Man Squad on Twitter at Dan Besbris, DanBesbris. Go and annoy him. He likes that. Noah is here with me. Good morning, good afternoon, Noah. How are things?
It's good. That was I'm doing well. The way you just rattled off Dan's last name and spelled it correctly, I thought that was very impressive. I don't know how much you did you practice that in the mirror this morning, or have you just gotten good at it?
I think I've just gotten good at it. Yeah, it's I've said it enough times now, as I'm sure he has. I do get told actually occasionally that I probably say it too quick. And actually, I get told sometimes that Aussies speak quickly. Is that a thing? Like, is that sort of something that's a common thought that, oh, yeah, those Aussies, they talk too fast?
I don't think you fit that, like, mold. I know Josh Lloyd has talked about that, because when he came on my show one time, we talked about it because he always listens to his podcast at either 1.5 or 2 times speed. And he said that sometimes, like, the Aussies just sound even faster than, I guess, Americans. So I don't think you speak too quickly, but I could see that for other Aussies that I've listened to or to spoken with. But I don't think you fit that mold.
Yeah, sometimes I catch myself doing it and sort of try to slow down, but then I forget and just go back to speaking normally. So I don't know. All right, so we're going to talk about some traded players and that sort of thing, but there is a little bit of news, nothing earth-shattering, but let's start with some injury updates on the Nets. As sort of expected, Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, both out through the All-Star break. That's not surprising at all. Cam Johnson trade talks have somewhat slowed, I think, over the last few days. We haven't really heard much. I guess with both of them, I suppose, in fan, are you just holding both of them? Like, I think you have to, don't you? They're going to come back at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not optimistic that when they come back, they're going to stay back for pretty much anybody in Brooklyn. I think they're one of those teams. They've already made a couple trades, but obviously, like, they still have some guys in the team that are very tradable that they may just not trade, because we've seen that happen with tanking teams where it's like, oh, like, they could probably get some assets for this guy, but they just don't move him. So, I mean, we could see, like, Cam Thomas come back shortly after the All-Star break, ball out for a couple games, and then, you know, sit some back-to-backs, and all of a sudden now he's missing a week, and then he's out for even longer. Like, that's just what tanking teams do sometimes. I do think you kind of have to hold them, because – when they play, they'll be good. You're probably not going to get much trade value for them. So I guess the only scenario in which you could consider dropping them is if your IL spot is just too full because you're waiting on so many guys to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough with these tanking teams. We know that. Isaiah Stewart, well, he was obviously received another flagrant foul on, was it 2 days ago maybe? I don't remember the day, but so he's been suspended for one game, but it's reported that the suspension is purely just because it's his sixth flagrant foul. So that must be a league rule or something, where if you receive six. So that's fine. But I guess the bigger question here is, following the ejection, he made the finger gun symbols a couple of times, pointed, well, that's what it appeared like. I'm sure he would come out and say, no, I was just pointing at them. But, I mean, is this suspension enough, I guess, in your eyes? Because I figure the NBA is not particularly, let's just say the last few weeks haven't been great for the image of the game with the resting and the tanking and everything that's going on. Was this an opportunity for the league to sort of crack down on something like this, or are you happy with the one game suspension?
Well, I think the suspension, because it's like a point system. So I think it was his sixth flagrant point. So it's like you get 1 point for a flagrant one, 2 points for a flagrant two. So it's a certain amount. And I think, I'm not sure exactly how the numbers worked out, if it was his sixth point or if it was more than that. And that just ended up being whatever it was. But I think a one game suspension, like within the rules, is fine. Cause honestly, the idea of tanking and resting players and then getting suspended for a very physical play. Like, I think he got fined as well for like the whatever gesture he made after.
Okay.
But I think the ejection just for the point system is fine, because it's one side of things where, okay, players aren't playing because teams are managing many injuries or they're trying to tank. And then the other hand, somebody's playing incredibly hard, a little like it was a dirty play. Like, I'm not saying it was not like a clean play, just always play kind of thing. But it's somebody's playing hard, and it's like, can't have both sides of it and be happy about both sides. So it's like,
yeah.
I would love to see some sort of crackdown. I'm not sure exactly what the answer is, but some sort of crackdown on the tanking. But
yeah,
it's fine to me if it creates a little bit more, like another chapter in this Pacers Pistons rivalry. Fine, like let's let the NBA play into that a little bit. But I guess it does get kind of iffy, and this happens I think a lot with the NFL, is players will get like penalized for some sort of celebration. Like they'll do like a first down, they'll say, oh, it was a 15-yard penalty for making a gun motion, and then they'll use that on social media to promote the league and promote the player. It's like, it is kind of an iffy thing that we'll see how the league operates around everything. But all that to be said, I know that was a bit of a spiel, but one game suspension is fine with me. I'm excited for the next time those two teams play.
Yeah, I think that is, the exciting element. We love these rivalries and all the, well, not all the players, a lot of them, they're just so friendly nowadays. It's not like the 90s when teams hated other teams and players hated certain players. We don't see too much of that. So it is good to see a health rivalry. Let's call it a health rivalry. All right. So we've got also one other injury, which now this is not a big one, but I just thought the timing was quite weird when I noticed that Zion Williamson is questionable for tonight with an illness. And this is less than 24 hours after he came out yesterday in an interview and said, hey, I can play back to backs. It's the team stopping me. And then the next day he's questionable with an illness. So it's, again, could be 100% legit. And he was feeling fine. Now he's not. And so he's questionable. With Zion, I suppose, and this is sort of a bit of a segue, I suppose, into this trade discussion that we're going to have. Is he someone, if you've got him on your roster, who you would look to be trading if you can get 2-3 consecutive good performances out of him? And he has been playing well recently when he's on the court. He's playing well. Is he someone you'd look to be trading, or do you think that the return is just not worth it and you hold and hope that he can play majority of games moving forward?
Well, just looking at the injury report, Jordan Hawkins is also out with an illness. They're listing both of them as non-COVID illnesses. So maybe it's just something spreading within the team. So maybe that ends a little bit of any sort of conspiracy theory there. Maybe something else is happening and they are using Jordan Hawkins to cover it up too. No, I'm just kidding. I think he is a guy you could potentially look to trade, but I mean, my cop out answer with pretty much anything is, what are you getting back? Like, is it enough? So I wouldn't be looking to sell too low on Zion, just to be able to get rid of the headache. Cause if you've been holding on to him all season, you I mean, kind of hope it's worth it at some point. So if you're able to get somebody pretty similar, maybe like one tier down, I don't know exact names off the top of my head of what would fit that mold, but maybe somebody that does not have an availability issue that is a tier down in terms of production, I think that's probably something I would be fine trading Zion away for.
So we'll move into trading players, and we are going to start with a player that we both enjoy talking about a lot, an Atlanta Hawk, Dyson Daniels. But just quickly jumping back to recent trade rumors regarding Bogdan Bogdanovic, and he didn't play yesterday, and the status, I suppose, was just that he was not with the team. There was no injury reported, there was no illness, there was no personal reasons. It was just that he wasn't with the team. Now, I listened to Josh's show yesterday, and he's obviously he has some connections and that sort of thing that we don't, and he's sort of hearing that this trade is potentially happening. We've heard that Yusuf Nurkic is on the way out in Phoenix, that the Suns are interested in Bogdan. Clint Capella is also not playing. Now, he's listed out with back spasms, I think. I think that's his designation. But if we remember back, not the last game, but the one before that, he just didn't play. I don't think there was an injury update. He just sort of turned up and wasn't in his playing gear and was sidelined. And then they said, no, it was back spasms. But he was on the sideline. He was there with the team. He was celebrating. He was up. And so is he part of this trade? We don't know. But I guess just overall, I suppose, if a trade, and this is very hypothetical, and we love speaking hypothetically about trades at this time of the year, if it was to be something like a Yusuf Nurkic and a draft pick, I don't know what they would include there, but for Bogdan and Clint Capella, I suppose, as an Atlanta fan, what would your thoughts be on losing those guys and having Nurkic come in as the backup center?
Yeah, I think it would be... I don't love the idea of Nurkic. I wouldn't be excited about Nurkic coming in. I'd be more excited about the pick coming in. But I think if he's fine being the backup center behind Okongwu, I don't love it taking away minutes from Okongwu, but I think Nurkic can be a pretty good offensive option, which obviously Capella would be a better defender and rebounder, but his offensive limitations have been pretty clear over the years. But I think Nurkic would be kind of fun in that regard. But I don't know. We'll see how it fits. I think the pick would be the more enticing thing to me. Bogey hasn't been available often this year. And when he has been, he hasn't had many good games. Capella is just continuing to get older. He's still serviceable. I think he would help the Suns. So I don't hate it. I think it isn't the home run move that is going to make the Hawks a little bit more competitive after the Jalen Johnson injury, which unfortunately the Hawks don't have control of their first round pick for the next 3 years because of the DeJounte Murray trade with the Spurs. So there's no reason for them to just say, one of our best players is out for the rest of the season. Let's back it up and try and get Cooper Flagler. They can't do that. So I did read rumors or reports or whatever you want to call it, that the Hawks have interest in maybe trading for Brandon Ingram, which they've had interest in the past. Like over the past couple of years, his name has been tied to the Hawks a couple of times. So I don't hate that idea. I actually am more on board with that now more than I ever was in the past. I didn't think he was a great fit, but now with Jalen Johnson out, if he would be, you know, open to kind of fitting into the system, I think some of his best seasons have come when he's been more willing to shoot threes, and the Hawks would definitely want him to be able to space the floor for Trae Young and be a secondary ball handler, which is what Jalen Johnson was doing for Trae. And we've kind of seen what has happened over the last handful of games without Jalen Johnson. They've lost 7 in a row. Trae Young has been a turnover machine. So just a little bit of help. Obviously, I'm not expecting it to be a move that makes the Hawks a contending team, but I don't know. It would be fun to see them shake things up at the deadline. And maybe that helps Risa Shea's development a little bit. He's able to kind of see how Brandon Ingram operates, maybe picks up a couple things as far as shot creation from him. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but my long trade deadline spiel for the Hawks there. I do think it's time for Bogey and Capella to get moved. They were great for a number of years, but kind of getting past it. It's kind of the time for the new guys to take over.
Yeah, and I do think finally it feels like it's been 2 or 3 years in the making. They have finally gone with Okongwu as the center of the future, the center of the present. So that's a good thing. I mean, I talk about the Hawks a little bit on my show and the fact that as a Hawks fan yourself, I can only imagine how frustrating it must be because I watch a lot of the Hawks. They're one of the teams.
You're a Hawks fan.
Well, I am now.
You like Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson, Veet Krejci. Like you're a Hawks fan.
Yeah, I have to be. And I like Trey too. I have Trey in so many teams. So I like Trey. But their good is so good. Like when they're on and you watch them play and they're hitting their shots, they're amazing. But their bad is so bad. And bad was what they were yesterday. They were just coming down, throwing up bad shots. Trey was turning the ball over. So I do sympathize with you. But as you said, they're not in a position where tanking is going to be beneficial at all. So that should, in theory, mean if you have Trey Young, if you have Dyson Daniels, these guys on your roster, they should be fairly safe rest of season. We're not going to see a situation where they're shut down. And that leads us into Dyson Daniels, who was your first player that we want to talk about in terms of trade value. And he has been traded over the last 24 hours. But we like to do one-for-one trades here. It's a lot easier than trying to sort of gauge a 3-for-4 and that sort of thing. So just some players that he has been moved for. One for one, and then we'll talk about him. RJ Barrett, there was some down here. Alperen Şengün, that's an interesting one. Kyle Kuzma, what the hell? they're the only one for ones that I can see, but there are some one for twos as well, which are quite interesting. There was one up here that caught my eye. Where is it? Vasili Micic and LaMelo Ball for Dyson Daniels. Anyway, give us your Dyson Daniels thoughts on current value and whether you would make these trades and who you would personally trade him for.
Yeah, there was a couple other of those like one for two trades that I had written down. The Bradley Beal for Derek White. There was Bradley Beal and Derek White for Dyson. CJ McCollum and Fred Van Vliet for Dyson, and then Jalen Green and Shaedon Sharpe for Dyson. So it's a nice mix of trades where it's like some of them are like, all right, let's kind of pump the brakes here on the Dyson Daniels hype train. I don't even know if I'm able to do that, but probably need to. And then there's some where it's like, wow, I can't believe someone did that. Like, that's such a bad trade. Good job getting Dyson for only Kyle Kuzma. Like, that's
insane. Yeah, God. Yeah.
So just looking at his last handful of games, he has – obviously the steals have been there all season. Those aren't going away. But – the assists and rebounds have both gone up. He has at least 5 in 4 straight games as far as assists, at least 6 rebounds in 5 straight games. So I think the Jalen Johnson injury is definitely going to open up a lot of usage just for everybody on the team. Things could obviously trade the deadline if they end up making some sort of deal for Brandon Ingram. I don't know exactly what that looks like. Or if they make that Nurkic trade, that probably doesn't change too much for Dyson either way, because it's not like Bogey's taking away a ton from him. But I'm excited to see what he can do offensively. I think we've seen that at times this season. There's been a couple games when Trey hasn't played where Dyson's really gotten the chance to kind of shine. I just think back to that game in Boston earlier this season. It was during his 6 steal streak when he had 28 points, 7 assists, 6 steals. They won in Boston. That was the in-season tournament game that Trey didn't play in, and the Hawks got hit with a massive fine. So I'm excited to see what he can do on offense. So we've seen the assists go up. He's going to draw more defensive attention. It's not going to be easy, and I think there may be some efficiency issues, especially shooting the ball. Maybe the field goal percentage isn't the best, which it's been pretty average this year, but I'm expecting the assist numbers to continue to be better than they were earlier this season.
Now, do you think I touched on this and I was sort of, I think it was more of a reactionary kind of a discussion, but do you think the absence of Jalen Johnson it has resulted in Dyson increasing those assist and rebound numbers because as you said earlier, Jalen Johnson was playing as a secondary ball handler, and he's a very good rebounder. With him not there, I mean, I love Vic Krejci has been out there, and it's giving Ricochet more sort of touches, that sort of thing. Do you think that is – so I guess the question is, do you think it's sustainable?
I do. I think the only thing that would derail it is some sort of trade at the deadline that brings in – and it would have to be a big trade. And again, I'm not sure exactly what that looks like to bring in a guy like a Brandon Ingram, and would he even be healthy. But I don't see why it wouldn't. I've been kind of talking about this for, I feel like, a while now. But the Hawks traded for DeJounte in the first place in order to give Trae Young like a secondary ball handler. And it was kind of overkill because they traded for another like very good point guard. Jalen Johnson was kind of the healthy medium there, which is exactly what they needed. Fits perfectly next to Trae. I won't have any more series like the Miami Heat one where they just, you know, beat up on him the whole time and he wasn't able to do anything. And that's kind of to a lesser extent what's happened recently is like teams just put a ton of pressure on Trae and try and make somebody else beat them. It's given Dyson Daniels the opportunity, but he's not obviously as good of a playmaker as Jalen Johnson, but the opportunity will definitely be there. The usage will definitely be there. It's just on him to kind of execute. And I think that is something that should happen pretty consistently, but it may not be perfect. He may have some bad games.
Yeah, he will. He will have some bad games, but that, it doesn't diminish our love for him.
Nothing could
do that, could it? So I've pulled up on screen here the most traded players in the last 24 hours. Unsurprisingly, Jimmy Butler is at the top of that list. Who do I want to pull out there? I mean, we chatted about Zion. I don't know. I mean, let's talk Amen Thompson because he – let me pull him in here. Because he has obviously – one trade, really? He's the most traded player and he's only got one trade. All right.
I noted a few other, like a few of the one for one or one for two trades earlier. I don't know why it's not pulling up there.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It was Amen Thompson for Miles Bridges. There was Amen for Tobias Harris and Clint Capella. And then there was just one for ones here. Scotty Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, Derek White, DeMar DeRozan, Paul George.
Okay. Scotty Barnes is an interesting one because I know there is a question in here from Matt Carmody. Are we selling Scotty Barnes? And I guess a broader question is, are we selling Raptors players? But Amen Thompson for Scotty Barnes, I mean, coming into the season, Scotty was he was seen as, I guess, not, I don't know if we'd call him a breakout candidate, but people were taking him relatively early in drafts where Amen Thompson was going in the 100 range in a lot of spots. So obviously different ends of the draft board there, but we're now having a discussion on who would you rather have rest of season. And I think we can all agree that Amen Thompson's role has changed. But the Rockets they're obviously going to be in the playoffs. They're likely, or at least they're going to push for a home playoff series. The Raptors, yeah, probably not. They haven't been great. They've had a lot of injuries. Who would you rather have there, Scotty Barnes or Amen Thompson? I have both of them in a lot of leagues, so I don't need to have this discussion with myself. But who do you think would be the better rest of season asset?
I think this is entirely down to what we think the Raptors are going to do as far as how hard they're going to tank, how much is Scotty Barnes going to play? Because if Scotty Barnes is going to play a similar amount of games to Amen Thompson, I think I'd still rather have Scotty. And he hasn't missed a game. Let's see, since December, he had that early season injury. Looking back to last year, I think he, and it was ended up being like, I don't remember exactly what the injury was, something that kept him sidelined like the final month and a half of the season. Mm. It wasn't just like
I think it was a wrist or a hand or something.
Yeah, it wasn't something that like a typical tanking team does where it's like, oh, they're questionable, they're out, questionable out, doubtful out, doubtful out. It's like, it was something that's going to end this season. Yeah. So I don't consider this like a, oh, there's just no chance that Scotty Barnes is going to play after the All-Star break or anything like that. My other question is, what is Houston going to do when Jabari Smith gets back? I would think they do the right thing. I would hope they do the right thing and just don't bench Amen Thompson. You either bench Jabari Smith or you bench Dylan Brooks. But we'll see. I think I actually might lean Amen Thompson here. I'm trying to like think this through as I'm kind of leaning both sides, but that's definitely a close one. I think the rest of the ones that I mentioned pretty easily lean Amen Thompson. That one's the closest one. I might even still lean Amen.
It's close. I love that he's in that discussion with Scotty Barnes. It's sort of, I didn't draft him thinking he was going to be this top 30 player and play 35 mm-hmm. minutes a night. But, so things have fallen in place for him. But it's good to see. Who was another guy that you came to the show with that you want to talk about?
The other guy was Scoot Henderson that I had. I only saw three trades that were one for ones with him. We'll see if they are able to pull them up. If not, I have them written down.
It says there's 10 here, but one for one.
Some big ones. Okay.
Dennis Schroeder, Keyonte George, Darius Garland. These are, we do have to preface that these are public Yahoo leagues, a lot of them. So, you can't rely on these and say someone's traded Scoot Henderson for Dennis Schroeder. Are we undervaluing Dennis Schroeder? Because, no, we're not.
Well, according to this, Schroeder's the same value as Darius Garland.
Yes, that's sort of what it's saying. and I'm fairly certain we're not at that point.
Not yet.
But let's talk about Scoot. I guess more generally, like, because I get asked questions about him sort of all the time about Scoot, because his role, one game he's off the bench playing 22 minutes, then he starts and plays 35 minutes. And I've sort of preached him as a hold for probably the last month, and I've personally held him, and it has been a little bit frustrating. But I guess, where are you sitting on Scoot and his value now and then moving forward through the season?
I've been pretty hesitant to talk too much about Scoot this year, because I felt like all last year I was like, don't worry guys, like final 2 months he's gonna like really pop off, final month he's really gonna pop off. And I think like the final like 2 weeks he ended up having like a solid stretch where he just had a ton of usage. So I think something similar will happen this year, hopefully earlier rather than later. He is a guy that I'm trying to think if I have him anywhere that's not a dynasty league, but definitely a guy that I'm expecting to play pretty well down the stretch of this season. And he's already had some good games to prove it. Like it's not just, they put the ball in his hands a ton, he's taking a ton of shots, getting a ton of assists. Like he's played well when he's gotten limited minutes, and he's played well when he's gotten a bunch, and he's definitely improved as a shooter, which is exciting to see. And the passing is still there. So yeah, definitely a guy to hold on to. And I think he could end up being a league winner if Portland tanks as hard as I think they will.
Yeah, it's just hard with Portland to know what they're doing. But he did start yesterday with Jeremy Grant out, which was a good sign. And he played well, and Shaedon Sharpe played well off the bench. Two guys that, I said I'm holding in a few spots. And hopefully Portland make the correct decision and end up just, as you said, leaning into him a ton down the stretch, because he could be, very valuable. I was just scrolling through Twitter very quickly, and there are multiple sources that I'm seeing regarding, still no shams, still nothing that would sort of make me go, okay, this is a done deal. But it's sounding like, if you just read the tea leaves, that it is getting close, that De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio is a decent chance of happening. There's one here that it's a potentially a four-team deal, which we've talked about that there are multiple teams that could be involved in this trade. So it makes hypothesizing very tough, because you have no idea who's the third team, who is the fourth team. Is it just picks? Are Atlanta part of this trade? We don't know. But it is, it would be good if it happened sort of in the next, 24 hours, because at least we could then talk about it as a nice lead into trade deadline week. Any thoughts on that trade? Like, I guess, again, we don't like to get ahead of ourselves too much, but it is fun to talk about things like this. So if just looking purely at the Spurs side of things, it's sounding as though Steph Castle is not someone that's going to be part of this deal. They don't want to move him. What are your thoughts on De'Aaron Fox going to San Antonio?
Man, I would love to have a little bit more of an indication of what this looks like, who could be included. It is, I think, hard. Having Fox in San Antonio, I think, gets them at least into the play-in. You know, they're not that far out of the play-in right now. So I would assume that they pass, like, are able to pass the Kings. I think they're 2.5 games behind the Kings and Warriors, who are 10-11 right now. So pretty easily into the postseason. But what do they have to give up? Do they have to give up? I mean, if they're going to keep Castle, are they having to give up Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, Chris Paul? Like, obviously, probably not all of those guys, but like some combination. I would assume that Chris Paul's gone. I don't think that he would be sticking around. And then if it's a 14 deal, who's rerouted where? Are the Kings doing this in a way that they're able to bring back somebody else to keep them competitive? I don't know exactly what it looks like, but it would be a lot of fun to have De'Aaron Fox and Wemby playing together in San Antonio. Would make them a playoff team. I think that they would be able to get out of the play-in tournament. But then again, if you look at who's in the play-in tournament, it's going to be a bunch of – that's what's fun about the West, is that it's all these play-in games with its guys on each team that are arguably top five players in the league and just battling it out. So it'll be exciting to see, but it would be fun to see them do this in the second year of Wemby being in the league.
It would. We will, I guess, watch this space and see what happens. But I'm right. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. If Steph Castle isn't part of that deal, I'm assuming it's got to be Vassell. And then the question is, where does he fit in if he heads to Sacramento? Because a lot of people are thinking, well, if De'Aaron Fox leaves, does Keon Ellis move straight into that starting lineup? And so are we stashing him? But Devin Vassell would not be going to Sacramento to come off the bench. It is too early to speculate, really, but it's fun to do it anyway. So someone I just wanted to chat about, speaking of San Antonio, former San Antonio Spur Kawhi Leonard, who has been playing better of late. I think we can agree that he's looking more like the Kawhi Leonard that we're used to seeing. The ramp up has been only one trade, really. Why does it tell me that they're the most traded players and then only give me one trade? All right, let's just talk about his value. His minutes have increased. He was up to 28 or 29, I think, in the last game. They play again tonight. Is he someone that you'd be trying to move off right now? Like, he's been pretty healthy. His arrow, I guess, or trajectory is pointing in the right direction. So would you sort of see this as a sell high opportunity, or do you think that other managers would just be way too cautious when it comes to acquiring him and you just wouldn't get enough value to make a trade worthwhile?
I think it'd be pretty difficult to find a trade that actually makes sense. Obviously, he is one of those players that has had recurring injury issues for a very long time now. So you can always kind of say, yeah, but like, what if he gets hurt tomorrow, or if he has a couple good games and then gets hurt again? Like, I don't know. You could apply that to anybody. Like, anybody could just randomly get hurt in a freak injury. So sure, I guess you could weigh that a little bit, and that would make maybe somebody less excited about trading similar value, because like per game value, we know what he can do when he's playing a full workload. So at this point, I think if you have him, you're just sitting there with your fingers crossed that he'll continue to see more minutes and his body will respond well, because I seriously doubt that you're able to get a player that produces at the level that he can in a trade right now.
Yeah, I actually drafted him in one of my leagues that we split and did a redraft about a week ago. So I'm pretty happy with his trajectory and I'm just not going to trade him. I'm just going to ride it out and hope that it can stick and he can stay relatively healthy. All right, we've got a couple of questions. Let's just have a look at those. You click the right button so your head stays on the screen. All right, so let's just start at the top. Who would we drop in a 9-cat 8-team league? Ja Morant, Jalen Suggs, Ware, or Michael Porter Jr.? So what, 8 teams? We're probably looking at players outside the top, I don't know, 70 or 80 as being somewhat expendable. Ja Morant's been pretty disappointing. Don't think I'd be dropping him though. Who, any names sort of jump off that list as someone you'd consider dropping in an 8-team league?
Probably if I had to choose one of those guys, it would end up being Michael Porter Jr. But, and I guess it's hard to get my head wrapped around an 8-team league because none of these guys feel like droppable players to me. But if I look at who else on the waiver wire, and it's like, okay, like maybe that trade makes a little bit more sense. But among those guys, I feel like I'm least excited about keeping MPJ around. I know Suggs has been hurt a little bit recently and Jaws had injury issues all year, but I feel like MPJ makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd agree there. All right, let's have a look. What have we got? There's obviously a lot of Spurs chatter in here. Well, let's look at the Bulls quickly. They're another team that are rumored or have been rumored for a couple of years, I think, to be wanting to move on from Vooch and or Levine. I mean, do you think, I've talked about this, do you think that they are able to move either of those players? And look, I mean, obviously, if Vooch was to move, that would help Jalen Smith. If Levine was to move, it would help Giddey, it would help Cody Wyatt, Lonzo Ball. But Lonzo Ball is also rumored to be on the trade block. So, I mean, what are your thoughts, I guess, on the Bulls? Because they're noted as a team that loves to strive for mediocrity and let's push and get that 9th spot and a home play-in game. Is that what they're going to do again?
I hope not. I've been joking with Raf for weeks now, just saying, yeah, but like, what if they feel like they get hot and like they win? Because we did I think it was the Q&A on Tuesday, the night before they had beat Denver. And it was like, yeah, what if they're like, guys, we just beat the Nuggets. Like, we can do this thing. We can get back to the play-in. When in reality, they're like, they barely hold a lead over the Sixers now. And actually, I don't even know. Maybe after last night.
Yeah, Sixers have won a couple, haven't they?
They're tied with the Sixers. Okay. 19 games out of first place. They've just played 2 more games. Like, whether they trade these guys or not, I don't even think it's a guarantee that they make the play-in tournament. So they should do the right thing and finally trade some of these guys. My only hesitation with, especially with Jalen Smith, is you can trade away Levine and get some guys back. And you can probably just – they're not probably going to get anybody that they want to prioritize over Kobe White, Lonzo Ball, Josh Giddey, Ayodele Sumo. I would imagine those guys are still playing minutes, assuming they're not traded. With Vooch getting back, I mean, I imagine that if they're able to make some of these trades, that they're able to get back a young center from somebody that maybe they feel like has higher upside than Jalen Smith. So I could definitely see a scenario where these guys get traded and Jalen Smith doesn't immediately step into 30 minutes. That could happen. Depends on the deals that they make. I feel a little bit better about whoever is still in Chicago at the guard spot that I do about Jalen Smith stepping into, you know, 35 or we'll just say 30 minutes per game and being a league winner.
All right. Now I saw a question here. Which one was it? So, well, this is more of a comment from Chad about the fact that you guys have been living. So Chad, I'm assuming might be a Hawks fan as well. Living the pain, or maybe he's just a fantasy manager who's had a Okongwu.
He's a fan of the game.
has been living this pain of a Okongwu versus Capella. It feels like we all have. We've been trying to doing our best to talk up a Okongwu for the last 2 or 3 years, and then we look like idiots because Atlanta keep rolling out Clint Capella as their starter. So it is good that they finally made that switch. There was one here. So you mentioned that Brandon Ingram is potentially a target for the Hawks, that there have been some rumors and things like that. And as the Hawks fan if a trade like that was to happen, because obviously the trade for Nurkic is fairly simple because he's not demanding a lot of money or anything like that. He's on a sizable contract, but it's not like Ingram, who is on a very sizable contract. So what would the pieces be involved in that? And I mean, this is obviously just, again, speculating, but who would they look to move? Because I'm assuming it wouldn't be Dyson, it wouldn't be Trey, it wouldn't be Reese O'Shea. So who would they look to move there?
Yeah, and I don't know how serious of a rumor / report that was. So maybe it was something that the Hawks had some interest. They talked to them about it, and it was this just doesn't make sense for us. But it was some sort of interest there. But Brandon Ingram is on an expiring deal, $36 million this season. If you add Capella and Bogey together, that's a little over $39 million for this season, with Capella about to be an unrestricted free agent. Bogey has a couple of years left on his contract. So I'd imagine the Hawks have to attach some draft capital, or maybe they don't even have to, or maybe it's some sort, but not as much as you would think for a guy like Brandon Ingram, because it's for the Pelicans. It's like, hey, we either get a little bit of something or we just let him walk. So maybe it ends up being a discounted deal for the Hawks. I don't really know exactly what that looks like. If maybe it's like they attach a heavily protected first, or if they attach a couple second rounders, or they do have the Kings lottery top 12 protected first this year and the Lakers first. So I don't know if something like that entices the Pelicans. I'm not saying that's something I would definitely do, but I think that's probably how it makes sense financially. But it's just about how the teams value these players and whether the Pelicans, maybe the Pelicans are like, you have to toss in, I don't know, Cody Bufkin to make it happen because we want somebody young. And it's at that point, do the Hawks want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Ingram, of course, his injury history is very, very detailed. It's seems to miss more games than he plays. So a bit of a dynasty one. I thought I'd throw this one in. You're the dynasty expert. And it's a fairly simple, straightforward question. So Chad needs some big man stats in his home dynasty league. Would you trade Malik Monk for Onyeka Okongwu in a dynasty league? Question is, do I need to wait on it? Can Monk's value rise more? I suppose, if Fox is moved, is there a chance that Monk gets better? Because he's been very good the last month, 6 weeks maybe. I don't know. He feels like he's been starting for quite a while now. And he's been arguably their best player. I mean, I think Sabonis is probably still their best player. But Monk, I think we could argue, has been better than DeRozan. Better than Fox in terms of consistency. Fox still has those big games, but Monk seems to be doing it regularly. So, is that a trade that you'd consider?
I think I don't want to seem too biased, so hopefully it's not that, but I think I'd rather have Okongwu. The fact that he just moved into the starting lineup hasn't been great so far, but I still like the situation there, whereas Malik Monk is playing the best basketball of his career at 27 years old. I'm not optimistic that is just who he is now and it's going to remain this level of production for five more seasons or something. It could be De'Aaron Fox gets traded and some sort of deal switches up the lineup and Malik Monk either has more responsibility and isn't able to do it as efficiently, or they bring in, I don't know if Chris Paul ends up in Sacramento so they can stay competitive and he kind of takes over some of the playmaking duties that has helped Malik Monk's value a lot. I don't know exactly what that looks like. I don't think that, because he's already taken a huge leap this season, I don't think that Fox gets traded and all of a sudden Malik Monk sees a dramatic increase in anything. Because last 2 weeks, averaging 21 points, 7.7 assists, 16.2 shots, does he start seeing almost 20 shots per game? Does he see assists go up to 9 or 10? Those jumps from Malik Monk just don't seem realistic to me. So I don't think that there's going to be some dramatic bump, but maybe you can sell somebody on the idea that there will be a dramatic bump. Those shots and those touches have to go to somebody. why not Malik Monk? He's already been playing really well, and then maybe get a little bit more out of it than just the Congo. Maybe you can get even more.
Yeah, it's a, and again, it is all very hypothetical at this point because we don't know who's coming back in mm-hmm. a trade. So, all right, what have we got? Let's just do this one from Devin. Oh, hang on, no, there was, oh no, Jordan. Sorry, it was the Jordan one. So what are we doing with Vooch, I suppose? If he's constantly on the trade block, supposedly, we talk about end of season, if he's traded, does Jalen Smith step into this role? And this is a little bit of a, I guess, a situation that, again, we've been talking about. It feels like for a couple of seasons where we think the Bulls are going to want to move off Vooch, but they don't. They push for that ninth seed or eighth seed. So would you be trying to trade Vooch? Because he's had a very good year, probably exceeded our expectations, at least in terms of efficiency. Would you try and move him, or would you just hold and almost trust that the Bulls will make the wrong decision?
I think I'd be looking to trade him if you'd lose out on some value because Chicago ends up sticking and doesn't trade Vooch at the deadline. Then I think you just kind of have to take the L there, I guess, a little bit. But if you're able to get like a top 25 player for him, that isn't a player that could be traded at the deadline, that way it's a little bit more security in their value, I would definitely do that. Because if he gets traded somewhere like Golden State, I don't see him. I mean, he could probably still be a top 50 guy, but I think his value takes a pretty big hit if he's playing somewhere like Golden State. Again, like you've been saying this entire show, all of these are entirely hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't see a scenario where Vooch gets traded to a location that gives him the ball more than what he's got in Chicago, or that sets him up better, gives him more minutes than what he's seen in Chicago.
No, and I do think it is one of these situations where I think trying to sell high is probably the way to go, or trying to move him.
Yeah.
But I just pulled up his numbers and that sort of thing for the season. He's nine cat leagues. He's actually the 11th ranked player this season. So he's a first rounder. There is absolutely no way, unless, well, I mean, you look at some of these trades that we've seen in Yahoo, but if you're in a public league, but if you're in a competitive league where managers know what they're doing, you are not getting a first rounder back for Vooch. You're probably not getting a second rounder back. Maybe a third, I think if you could get a third rounder, top 30 kind of a player, I'd probably do that. Any lower, like top 50, top 60, I think I'd just hold him. Because, yeah, I mean, as you said, if he moves anywhere, he's not going to have the same role. But his floor is relatively safe. We've seen that over the last decade, that he's a good rebounder. He hits his free throws. He can space the floor. He's not particularly good at it, but he can do it. You're not going to get – so you know exactly what you're getting as long as he's playing. And I don't think a team is going to trade for him and just play him 15 minutes off the bench either. So he'll have a role.
No, for sure.
So, yeah, he is a tricky one. Chad's put this in. I don't know where what the sources are here, but the Ingram to the Hawks deal is picking up steam. We'll just monitor social media, and basically the next week is just going to be living on Twitter and waiting for those for the breaking news and trying to determine what's real and what's not. All right, well, I'm going to let you go because I have to do a pregame show in 5 minutes. What's going on in the world of Noah?
In the world of Noah, well, I was kind of hoping that a De'Aaron Fox trade would happen while we were on this show. So I'll try and stretch this out, make you late to your other show so that hopefully a trade happens and then you're late to your other show. It's a lot of blurbs. It's trying to get out other content when I can. I mean, still have the Q&A with Raph on Tuesdays and the Roto World Basketball Show with Raph and Dan on Wednesdays, which you were gracious enough to join us for this week's episode. So thank you again for that. But yeah, other than that, it's just trying to keep doing those things as we try and get through the season. And then hopefully after the regular season ends and fantasy kind of slows down a little bit, there'll be more off-season content, more draft content. It's obviously going to be a really good class, a lot more exciting than last year's class was. So plenty of content to do with that coming up at some point.
Yep, lots coming up, and we'll pretty sure we'll be catching up in Las Vegas in about
six months.
That's the plan. So I'm looking at flights at the moment. It's stupidly expensive. I talked with Josh about this because Josh will be over there. He's always over there, but the flights this year seem to be a lot more expensive than in previous years. So I'm sort of hoping that they'll have a sale, some sort of a sale, and I can get them slightly cheaper because I have to pay extra. Well, I don't have to, but I like to pay a little bit extra to get some leg room on that 14-hour flight. And only certain airlines will give you that option without having to pay thousands of dollars extra. So, yeah, but I'll be there. I'll get there, even if I have to walk. We'll make sure that we're there. Thank you for jumping on. We'll have you on again in a few weeks, and probably be back next week, I think, with Michael Waterloo again. I'll hit him up, and we'll keep doing it. It's a fun show. But thanks for jumping on. I'll be, as I said, heading straight in to do the pregame show in about 5 minutes. I have to go and check if my family's awake. We need to get the day going. I'm Adam King. He is Noah Rubin. This has been the Balls Deep Trade Talk Show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBIBasketball.com.